carry the cross of Christ, hold to the hope I'm.
You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
Okay, let's greet each other. Greetings, greetings. So yesterday we had our men's cookout and a fishing clinic with Mark Nichols, the founder of DOA Lure Company. And while we were sitting down to eat, Larry Hughes, our dad of the day, you know, the our oldest guy, I think there, was sitting on the, trying to sit on the picnic table and fell backwards on the pavement, and his back bounced, his head bounced, and we walked over to him, ran over to him, and he said, "I'm Larry B. Hughes. I know that I'm at Shepherd's Park in Stuart, Florida, and I'm not on blood thinners." And then he said, one of our men said, "You need to call 911, Pastor." And then Larry reaches in his pocket and pulls out this Band-Aid. He had a little boo-boo on the back of his head. It was bleeding. And he said, "Here, Pastor, this will take care of it." So, Larry Hughes, you're one tough fellow. Stand up. Stand up so they can see you're okay. Some of the kids that were there came up to me a while ago. And he had his head examined, and Dr. Patton looked at it and said he's normal and all that, and all the Dr. Patton's a radiologist, so it's all good. When we're done today, we need some volunteers. Where's David Blackwell? David, stand up. There's David. David's going to lead you in a take up your chair and walk campaign. And we're going to stack them 9 high on the wall, where just away from those flowers, so Jesus can put them on carts and roll them behind the curtains tomorrow. And he wants them. He's going to do the cart thing. So now, if you can help David, David will direct you and down that wall over there, just short of the curtains, and we'll get that done as well. And then if you look inside, there's a couple of other things. Square dancing. You know, at our Valentine banquet, we had square dancing, and Mike and Patty are teachers, and Mike's a caller, and so they're going to provide some free lessons to give you an exposure to it, and the dates are on here. There's a handout, so if you'd like to, how many of you are interested in square dancing? Okay. it's good exercise and a decent workout. And then also we've got our 4th of July musical coming up. Take this and place it on your fridge, or hand it to your neighbors and invite them. Take some more of the sales with you when we go. And we've also got some more baby bottles still for the Crisis Pregnancy Center. Rachel Brooks, she's in assisted living, and she called Kim last night and said, "Come get my baby bottle. It's full." And praise the Lord for Rachel, always still plugging away. And so we've got that. And then VBS this week, Let's have our VBS workers stand. Let's give them a hand. And let me pray for you. Father, please be with our VBS this week and our workers, and use them in a powerful way to reach these children for you. We just want to tell you we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And then there's the picnic information, 4th of July picnic information in here. So I want to encourage you to avail yourself of that. And now we'd like to recognize our dads. But first, there's a video. So if you call your attention to
the screen. When my husband and I first told the kids about the big move, we weren't sure how they'd react. I mean, this is the only home they've ever known. There's a lot of history here.
Dude, look what I found.
We thought they'd be upset about leaving their friends behind.
This is what we need. One last winner-take-all competition.
But what they were most concerned about was who was going to be the ultimate clubhouse capture of the flag champion. Many things are important, but some things get magnified.
There you go. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. And today we also want to recognize our fathers. As you know, it's Father's Day today. So dads, would y'all stand? If you're a dad here, let's stand. Let's give them a big hand. And let me pray for you also. Father, we just want to ask you to be with these fathers, these earthly fathers, and bless them, protect them, give each one of them a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you just take authority over any spirits assigned against them, and cast them into the pit, and free them to just worship you, walk with you, love you, and adore you. Thank you for these dear dads. In Jesus' name, amen. So we want to recognize dads in a special way. And so, let's see, where is it?
Right here, Pastor. Is that it right
here? No, that's not the special way. There's a bag here, a plastic bag, or there was. Oh, behind the plants. Inside the plants. Actually, this is an Easter egg hunt. Oh, someone stashed them. Okay. So we want to recognize our dads today. And got those. And then all of you dads, I want you to come forward. We want to give you a gift. We've got a gift for you today. For our dads.
Dad, stand up and walk forward.
Dad, stand up and walk forward.
I have no idea.
Come get one of these. What we're giving the dads, it's a Father's Love is Beyond Measure. It's a measuring tool with a pen in it. And I think it'll cook coffee. And you're welcome. You're welcome. You go, guys. You're welcome. You're welcome. And that fishing lure. There you go, Paul. A full measure. Okay, Dad. More gas.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I see. Here you go, Dad. Hey. They took some back. Is there more? Oh, okay, the guy with the baby. That's proof that he's a dad. Okay. So we want to recognize three levels of dads at this time. And so we've got some interesting gifts for the, again, it's measuring up. So we're going to start with the youngest dad. Dads 35 years or younger, please stand. 35 years or younger. 40 years or younger. Okay, okay. How old are you?
36.
36. 38. 43. There's one more. Where?
CJ, how old are you?
No. 40. 40. 38.
36.
Rick? That's a 16-foot rule. Okay? Now we want to recognize the oldest dad with a 25-foot rule. Okay? So let's go ahead and jump it up a little. Let's start at official senior age, 65. Or older, please stand. 65 or older. We're going to do 5 years at a time. 70 or older. 75 or older. 80 or older. 85 or older. Now, you know they're getting a little older when they do this. They sit down and stand back up. 90 or older.
We got two.
Okay, Ray, how old are you? 94. Bill? 95. You're welcome. How many children do you have, Bill? How many grandkids? Right. Right. How many great-grandkids? Ask your daughter-in-law. Our daughter. Wow. And 37. And any great? How many great? Eight great. You can make a poem with that, okay? Very good. So he got the 25-footer. Now we're going for the dad with the most kids, 30 feet, okay? 30 feet. So dads with three or more stand, three or more children, four or more, five or more, six or more. Bill. Bill, you're going to be measuring everything. That's your third ruler today. That's great. Well, praise God. Let's worship. One of the little guys from yesterday at the picnic came up to me on the front row and said, Pastor, how's Mr. Larry? Is he okay? And I said, here he comes right now. And so he gave Larry a big hug. Yeah, isn't that sweet? Children, it's awesome. It's interesting that God in the scriptures refers to himself as our Father. And, you know, most people would say probably in the world that the most valuable relationship each of us have is with our mother. But in actuality, for the kingdom and for our spirituality and all that, it's really our dad. And the statistics bear it out that, you know, if just children come to church, there's a lower percentage of that persisting on in their life. Now, if a mother brings them, it doubles it. And then if the daddy comes, dad with the mother and the children, it really locks the family in. And so our relationship to God as our Father is so important, and our relationship to our fathers is so important. When you have a loving father here on earth, it's just naturally easier for you to look as God your father as a loving father as well. And it helps that relationship in a tremendous way. I've got a passage of the Lord Jesus I want you to look at with me. If you've got your Bible in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 9, 11 through 13, we're going to look at that this morning. And there's two sets of threes that we're going to be looking at in relationship to our relationship to God the Father. So let's look at the passage together. 11, beginning in verse 9. And Jesus said, "And I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened." Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? And then in the King James Version, it says, or if your sons ask their father for a loaf of bread, he won't give them a stone. And we see this also in the text in Matthew 7, 7 through 11. And so then he says, now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish, he will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, first of all, we see an acrostic in Scripture that's there, ask. Ask, seek, knock. And we want to look at that first. Three dynamic actions that God wants us to have for our Heavenly Father and our earthly fathers. First of all, if we ask, we will receive. So many times, if kids have an expectation from their parents and don't make the request, then they wonder why they don't receive. When I was a little boy, I grew up Roy Rogers and all a Lone Ranger, and I thought I was a cowboy. I'd sit on the back of the sofa with my two pistols in my holsters and ride the back of the sofa and shoot bad guys and do all that. Well, they came out with a rifle that shot little plastic bullets. It's like the rifleman's rifle, like a 30-30 with the lever. And so they took my sister and I to see Santa. And we went up on the stage, we got in his lap, she whispered in his ear what she wanted, I whispered in his ear what I wanted, and then they gave us candy, some of the elves, and we came down. Well, as soon as we came down, my parents converged on us. "Sissy, what did you tell Santa you wanted?" And she told them everything. And then they came to me and they said, my nickname was Derry. "Derry, what did you want?" And I said, "I don't need to say, I've already told Santa." Santa knows, he's going to take care of it. "But what did you tell him?" "He knows, don't worry about it." And so Christmas rolls around. We're opening all the gifts, and I asked Santa for the rifle. And I looked and looked and looked for the rifle. I looked in closets. I looked under the bed. I said, "Surely Santa hid it." And my parents have said, "Hid what?" You know, and I didn't make the ask, and I did not receive. Well, actually, I did receive. Once I did tell them what Santa didn't deliver, they took me to Walmart, and we got it. So, you know, anyway, so we see that we need to ask. And it's interesting that on these three actions, asking, seeking, knocking, that all three of them in the Greek language are present active indicatives. That means they're continually present tense. They're active, and actually they're imperatives, and they're commands. So God is giving us these three commands, ask, seek, knock, And he says, I want you to continually do it. Keep doing it. Keep on keeping doing. And you could actually put in your notes, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And God wants that to be a pattern in our lives, asking to receive. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 29, we see these three actions broken out also. And in chapter 29 of Jeremiah, beginning in verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And God's saying here, ask, pray, talk to me, and I will respond. There's so many times we have needs in our life because we simply don't ask him for it. My entire pastorate here for 33 years, I've been encouraging all of you to ask God for everything. Everything you want, everything you need, before you go and buy it. You may say, well, I've got money in my checking account, or I've got limit on my credit card. I can go get it. Why don't you give God a chance to give it to you first? Now, he may use your neighbors to do it. I was driving through one of our neighborhoods in Hammock Creek, and I needed some covers for the burners of my grill. They had rusted out, a couple of them. And I saw a grill that was set out, a Weber stainless steel grill. And so I pulled over, I opened it up to see how the burner covers were, and they were great. But then I looked, and the grill was, I'm not sure the people cooked on it. And they shoved it out to the street, and I said, this grill is better than my grill. So I waited for a few minutes, and the owner came out of the house with her grown adult son, and I said, can I ask a favor? And I had the truck, and they said, what is it? And I said, well, I'm your neighbor. I live in the community, and will you, sir, help me load your grill into my truck so it can become my grill? And he said, absolutely. And so we put the thing in the truck, and when I turned around to come back by, and I said, I'm just curious. I hit the clicker. It's clicking. You know, everything's great. In fact, it really looks good. And I said, why did you throw it out? And she said, well, that pan underneath got dirty, and I threw it away, the grease pan, so we can't use it anymore. Good to know. Good to know. So I mentioned that to Kim and Shay, and guess what I'm getting for Father's Day? A grease pan. Anyway, but we have not because we ask not, and give God an opportunity to provide for you and give him an opportunity to give you things and give him an opportunity to listen to you. Number two, if we seek, we will find. And this, again, back in our Jeremiah passage 13, it says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. Last week, I was witnessing to one of our waiters in the restaurant. And when I started talking to him and asking him questions, he said, I don't know God, but just last night, I asked him to help me find him. I said, you prayed that last night? He said, that's right. And I grinned because I knew he was fixing to find him. And so sure enough, I shared Jesus with him, and he gave his life to Christ, and he was so grateful. And through the years, I've had that happen, I don't know, a dozen times, where people have actually said, I was just praying either last night or this week or recently. One of the times when I was working for my dad doing electric work, we were wiring an education building in Cordova, just north of Memphis, for a church, a three-story building. It was a Saturday, and the building was completed with the exception of some cleaning up and some of the wiring. I had to put the service into the panel, the big wires, into the breakers in the panel. So I'm down in the service room, and I'm, to my knowledge, I'm the only person in the building. And so I'm there, and I've got yellow 77 wire lube up to my elbows because, you know, I'm having to, we had to pull some of the wire in, my dad and I, and he left, and now I was wiring it. And so I was pretty nasty. And so as I'm putting those wires and lugging them down into the panel, the Lord speaks to my heart and says, I want you to go upstairs and share me with someone. And I'm in my heart, just this thought clear in my mind, go upstairs. And so in my mind, I said, Lord, there's no one else here and I'm busy. And the thought came again, go upstairs, you know. And so in my heart again, I said, you know, I'm nasty. I'm busy. There's no one else here. And then the third time, I want you to go. I said, okay, Lord. So I got a rag and wiped off as much as I could. I went up the stairwell. Sure enough, on the third floor, I'm 6'4". There was a 6'7" laborer, a white kid, a skinny white, just out of high school kid. And he was sweeping up dust in some of the rooms so they could lay the carpet on Monday. And so I walk up to him, introduce myself. I said, I'm Daryl Orman. I'm an electrician. I'm here wiring the panel, but I'm also a believer, and Jesus told me to come talk to you. He lays the broom in the corner. He looks at me. His eyes well up with tears. And he said, last night I prayed and said, if there's a God in heaven, would you have someone talk to me? And this morning, while I was eating breakfast, I was asking God to have someone talk to me. I said, he heard you, I'm here, let's go. And so I shared Jesus with him. He gave his life to Christ. He went home, led his sister to Christ, his middle school sister living at home with his parents. They came to the church. I was the youth pastor at Oak Haven Baptist Church, and I baptized them. And I'll never forget, it was in the winter, and the water was cold like ours is a lot. And we walked in, and they're shivering and almost howling. And they said, we're going to remember this baptism for two reasons, because the water was so cold. But if you seek, you'll find him. He wants you to find him more than you want to find him. And so if we seek, we will find. Number three, if we knock, we will enter. And the idea is to keep knocking. Back in Jeremiah 29 again, verse 14. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. And God says, if you knock, it'll be opened, you'll enter it. Matthew 25, verse 21, the Lord Jesus said this, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And so if we knock, we will enter. So I want to encourage you, be asking, be seeking, be knocking, be being all the rest of your life. Asking, seeking, knocking, asking, seeking, knocking. And God will respond with these promises that he's given us. Secondly, let's look at the three dynamic analogies or comparisons we have here between heavenly fathers and earthly fathers in our passage. First of all, in verse 11, now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? We've got some cousins, some of Kim's cousins, and their dad was a commander in the Navy and a hardcore, driven, controlling guy, just hardcore. And it's interesting that we were, after I married into the family, all four of the kids struggled with him. They struggle with their Heavenly Father relationships. They struggle with how hard-nosed he was. And when I came into the family, I immediately started teasing him because he wasn't my commander. You know, he's just an uncle, you know. And so, I mean, he's talking one time and he says, when they first meeting me, the first night I'm meeting them, we're at their kitchen table in Roanoke and or in Norfolk. And he says, I invented a phrase years ago, loose lips sink ships. He says he coined that phrase. And that can't pass by me. I'm going to catch that one. And I said, I heard another one of yours, a penny saved is a penny earned. And the kids were just belly laughing because I was putting it back at him. But on this passage we were talking about, I was talking with one of the sons, the oldest son, Junior. And when I read this passage, we discussed it. He said, my dad would not give us a snake. He would not give us a stone. He would not give us a scorpion. He would sell them to us. And that's how hard it was for them. And I hope as a dad, you're not that way. And if you've been a dad like that, I hope you'll call your kids and square that away and really work on that. But here we see, if we ask our earthly father for a fish, he won't give us a snake, will he? Now, me and snakes, I was playing golf with Joshua, my son, when he was young at Pine Lakes Golf Course over just across the bridge in North River. And it rained a lot and everything was swollen. And on the first fairway, there was a 4-foot water moccasin. And water moccasins are mean. And water moccasins are agitated. And so I got out my trusty sand wedge. And I went over and I beat it about a half a dozen times in the head. And I wasn't sure I'd done him in yet. So my son Joshua said, Dad, I am not riding 18 holes of golf with a water moccasin in the golf cart. So I took it over number 10. The 10th hole was right beside number 1. And I coiled it up behind a tree. And I said, I'll get it when we pass back around. So we finished that front 9. We're coming by there. And we go by the tree. And sure enough, he's still coiled there, but he's kind of groggy. So I beat him some more. And then I put him in the cart in the sand bucket. And when we went up to the clubhouse after we finished the green, I took him in draped over the sand wedge. And old John, who worked there, said, Pastor Darrell, look what you've got. And he said, where'd you get that? And I said, well, right out here. And I beat him with my sand wedge. I hit him like 10 times. And there was an old man drinking a beer at the counter. And he turned around and he said, did you get him on the green? Like I was playing golf with a snake, you know. And so they gave me a pickle jar, and I put it in the jar, and John said, we'll keep it behind the counter for you. And we finished the back 9, and this is the pickle jar. And where's his head? And this is the water moccasin. 4 foot long. A lot of hurt right there. And so I've had this thing since Josh was a boy. And this snake is older than all the kids that ran to Children's Church. But the idea of a snake, and, you know, dads don't give their kids snakes. Now, I've had all the grandkids, the boys, ask if they could have it, but I'm not giving it to them. We see this as an unusual analogy. And he's saying the connotation is earthly fathers give their kids good gifts. Earthly fathers give their kids what they ask for. And then we see, secondly, number 2, if we ask our earthly father for a loaf of bread, He won't give us a stone. If we ask him for a loaf of bread, he won't give us a stone. And that's the same way. How many of y'all have given your kids or grandkids food before? Raise your hand. How many of you have given them things that they've asked for, things that they've wanted? When Kim and I first got married, my parents, I grew up eating breaded okra and black-eyed peas. And Dad raised okra and peas on his farm. And part of their wedding gift to us, they gave us an upright freezer filled half and half with black-eyed peas and cut breaded okra. And so our first years in college, after Kim and I first got married for a year or two at Liberty, we'd invite other couples over to eat, and they'd talk to each other, and they'd say, we're going over to eat with Daryl and Kim, and we know we're either having breaded okra and black-eyed peas or black-eyed peas and breaded okra. And so we fed that to everybody, and they loved it, didn't they, Kim? Oh, yeah. So we see this idea of us asking our earthly father for a loaf of bread. And, of course, a loaf of bread was the staple of this ancient world. This was, if you had a loaf of bread, you had food. If you didn't have a loaf of bread, you didn't have any food. Give us this day what? Our daily bread. And so we see this analogy between God, our heavenly father, and our earthly fathers. Number three, if we ask our earthly father for an egg, he won't give us a scorpion. Now, as I was thinking through these things, a snake, a stone, a scorpion, these three S's, snakes, stones, and scorpions, there's kind of an interesting aspect to it. The snake can kill you. It can be lethal. The stone can hurt you, and the scorpion can ruin your day. You know, and so there's an aspect of being sick with one, being hurt with another, or being stricken and killed with the other. And he's talking about these various degrees of things that could happen to us, things that could hurt us, adverse things. And he's saying, earthly fathers, normally they don't do that to you. They reward you. They take care of you. They provide for you. They give to you. And this is what we love about our earthly fathers when they're generous. When my mother died and I was helping cleaning out our house, when I was a little boy, I had a checking account and I put money in it and saved money. And when I needed something from Dad, I'd ask him for him and I would write him checks, these little checks. They were real checks, you know, on First National Bank in Memphis. When mother died and I'm going through all this stuff, I found that my dad never, of course, I didn't balance my checkbook when I was a kid. I found my dad never cashed any of the checks. There was a whole stack of the checks I wrote him that he kept. And I thought, this is just another way. I thought, how loving Dad was. I guess he was proud that I'd write him a check. I don't know. But you know, our parents, our fathers, it's so important for them to be affirming. My dad had a gas tank behind our house for his electric company to fill the trucks. And when I got into high school and got my driver's license, I invited my buddies to come over in the early afternoon, and I sold them gasoline. So the driveway would have two or three of them in there, and they were all filled up and gone before Dad came home from work or before the crews came in. And so one time, Dad decided to come home early. And I'm out there with my pump handle, and there's two or three of them still in a row in the driveway, and Dad, what the heck do you think you're doing? And I said, I'm selling gasoline. And he says, boys, you got to get out of here. The pumps are closed. It's closed today. So he sent them on their way. And I thought, I'm going to get the beating of my life. This is going to be so bad. And he took me in the house. He set me down at the kitchen table. And he said, Daryl, I just want to tell you something. whatever you do, you're going to be successful. He says, and you do have a business edge to you. He said, here you are, and you got no cost in the gas. It's pure profit. And he actually hugged me, you know, and affirmed me. But he said, if you ever sell another gallon of gas, I'll kill you. I'll just outright kill you, you know. But I thought, wow, you know, how many of you would have gotten mad at your son? How many of you have cussed him out or, you know, bend over the bed and get a spanking or whatever, whatever? You know, we need to recognize the idea of loving fathers, the fathers here on earth, and their affirmation. And then finally, that brings up our last point. Our Heavenly Father's generosity so drastically exceeds our earthly fathers that he will give us the third person of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity. God is so greater in his love to all of us that when we're apathetic, when we're disobedient, when we're carnal, when we're backslidden, when we're in the natural world instead of the spiritual world, when we're living just like everybody else around us, God says, in spite of all that disobedience and apathy and unspirituality, he says, I will give you my Holy Spirit. He will place the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Think about that. For you to be indwelt by God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? Every one of us are a temple. Everything you say, if you're a believer, you're making the Holy Spirit say that with you. Everything you look at, every time you curse, every time you do something that's wrong or a bad testimony, you indwelt by God's Spirit that he's given you, you're taking him along with you, and he is there. He is monitoring more than Google, more than your smartphone. He is right there on top of everything you're doing, the Holy Spirit of God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I just want to tell you today, Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for your generosity to us. I want to thank you that in spite of how we are, you love us and you will share with us the Holy Spirit. Beloved, what we've got to look forward to, the riches of heaven. We looked at gold, silver, and things like that last week. What we've got to look forward to in heaven is the very nature of God. Everyone here indwelt by God's Spirit, but only those who are. You're going to inherit the complete nature of God. And heaven will be filled with billions of people that God was so generous to that he made us like himself for eternity. It's so exciting. But this is the contrast. As loving, whoever here has the best dad, there's probably someone quantitatively who arguably has the best dad. We don't know who it is. You may not even know if yours is the one or not. But there's a dad that was sensitive, a dad. My dad had anger problems, but he was a great dad. He and mother one time were watching television and you had no remote control. It was a Friday night. She watched Memphis State basketball. She went to Memphis State University. Dad watched boxing on Friday nights. So mother's watching basketball. Dad comes in, turns it on boxing, sits down. Mother gets up, turns it on basketball, sits down. Dad gets up, turns it on boxing, sits down. Basketball, boxing, basketball, boxing. And then finally, Dad just blew his top. He said, I've had enough of this. Fist right through the side of the television. sparks going off. He was an electrician. I guess he knew what he was doing. I'm looking. My sister's looking. And I said, he's Superman. He's Superman. And mother jumps up crying, runs, locks herself in the bathroom. Now, he never touched her. He said, a man that touches a woman is no man at all. But they did a lot of yelling. And he goes to the bathroom door, open this door, Virginia. No, you know, and so forth and so on. So the next morning, the men come in for my dad's electric company to drink coffee at the kitchen counter before they get in the trucks and leave. And I said, Dad was in the back changing. I said, my dad is Superman. And they said, how do you know, Derry? Come in the living room with me. I took the whole crew in there. And they all saw the hole in the TV, and they said, he is Superman, you know. And they teased him for months. But no dads are perfect, but we have good dads. And he wants us. And if you're a dad, now I'm a grandfather, and I'm working on being a good grandfather. We spent a couple days, 3 days with the kids this week. We're in the pool. Clara likes to be the one and only with us, the one and only with Kim, or the one and only with me. Will you please, when you die, leave $1 more to me so all the others know I'm the favorite, you know. So but we're all leaving. We've got to be out of the Verbo by 10 o'clock in St. Augustine. Beautiful pool outside. It's, I don't know, 8 o'clock. I said, Clara, you want some private time? Let's go to the pool. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's rushing. Well, the boys wake up. Where are you going? Now they're going too. Now all four of them are going. So when we go in the pool, I said, I always like to try to give them a skill. So I said, we're going to have a breath-holding contest because any of them can do well, except for Shiloh. She couldn't do it. But the other three. And I gave them tips. Now, Gabe, he's swimming around poking his brother, so he ran out of oxygen. He was so hyper first, and Cohen won the first one. And then I said, you got to just block your mind out, pretend like you're asleep, close your eyes, and relax every muscle in your body. If you feel tension anywhere, let it out. Well, when we did that, I found out that Cohen literally has no body fat because he went to the bottom like an anchor. But the other two, so they started really, and I thought, I'm giving them a skill that might save their life someday. Can I hear an amen? Never know when a car goes in the canal or whatever. And I talked them through that, you know. Don't pinch your nose because of the tension in your arm. And they started really holding their breath for a long time. And I enjoyed it. I loved it, the fellowship with the kids. But work on putting things into your children's and grandchildren's lives, helpful things, constructive things. And then, above all else, point them to the Lord Jesus. Point them to the relationship that will give them the Holy Spirit. If they've got the Holy Spirit inside of them, they've got permanent provision the rest of their lives. They've got God's protection. They've got God's provision. They've got God's love. They've got God's affirmation. Make sure that they know Christ and are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And I thank you for our dear people, those watching, listening, those here. And I ask you, please, Almighty God, to speak to hearts. And Father, for any here, maybe that had bad fathers, any that are listening, please, dear God, give them the grace and mercy to forgive their fathers. Give them the grace and mercy to get past it. For all of us that have had good fathers, we just pray, dear Lord, that you would reaffirm all their lessons in our life. And Lord, I want to look up past that to you. Thank you for being our great, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. And I want to ask you, please, to right now to speak to hearts and give people the will to ask you to forgive them and place your Holy Spirit in their life. And I'd like to invite you right now, if you're not sure or haven't done so, to just say, oh Lord, you see me, you know me inside out. You know every thought, action, word of my entire life. Please forgive me and cleanse me. And come and dwell me by your Holy Spirit. Please, Almighty God, apply the death of your Son Jesus to me to pay for all my sins. And give me your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for allowing your Spirit to enter me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing, and you come as God speaks to your heart this morning. Maybe he's talking to you about baptism, church membership. Maybe you got a prayer request. Maybe you got a praise you want to share with us. I want to ask y'all to come. David, Sweet Frog David, David Miller, can you come down? As many of you may be aware, David Miller came forward, I think it was 3 weeks ago, asked us to pray for him, deep concerns. He had some preliminary cancer diagnosis, and we prayed, and as of currently, can you bring us up to date?
Yeah, I guess I want to thank all of you for your thoughts and your prayers. The initial results, I think there was like 15 samples. I was very tired and sore after that. But the primary, what he referred to as the primary sources, all came back benign. Okay?
Amen.
So praise God for that. I have since gone through two additional procedures, through the neck, through the gums, and we're still waiting results. So the verdict's still out. So I continue to ask for your thoughts and your prayers.
Amen.
It does work.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Right.
Okay. Amen.
So praise God.
15 good tests. Let's pray for two more, all right? Y'all bow your heads with me or extend your hands toward David, if you would. And let's pray together. Father, we just want to lift David up to you and thank you for him. And ask you, please, dear God, on these last two tests to give him the additional good results you've given him already. We pray that you would just make sure that he's completely benign, Lord, that you would protect him from cancer and pour your Spirit out on him. Thank you for our brother. We love him. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
I'm Minister Ezekiel Jones of Lively Stones Ministry. Join us every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, a fresh manner. Thy word is a lamp, the fresh word of God, children of God.
Thy word is a lamp.